Hey, John, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. Hi, everybody. It's Mark Sams here. Today we have it's, today's kind of a special day. We've got a really important guest here today, and his name is John Rampton, and he is a highly accomplished entrepreneur, writer, motivational speaker. He's basically got an undying energy to accomplish so much in a little time, has basically led him to being called the entrepreneur on steroids. So he's a blogger, editor. Some people say he's a pay-per-click guru, and he still has time to give important speeches at like large conferences, like ones that you know, like SES, Blogworld, New Media Expo, and Affiliate Summit, just to name a few. Now, in between all that, would you believe that John still finds time to actually start up new businesses of his own, such as blogging.org and PPC.org, and basically do what's necessary with those businesses to actually make them success? And then just on top of that, just to really just top it all off, he's got a history of actually helping fledgling businesses to actually identify targeted sales and develop sound marketing strategies. And his results-driven attitude has gone on to actually helping companies such as NetHosting go from a startup to a multi-million-dollar company within a matter of years. So that's just one of the several notches of notches on his entrepreneurial belt. So John, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well.
Man, you've done a lot, John.
Thanks.
Like, how does that happen? Like, did you before all of this came about, was this written down in a plan, or did it just come about naturally? What's the scenario there?
It just kind of comes. I mean, you just, work, 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 and, opportunities come your way.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So before you started online, would you say that was you doing like a normal job, getting up in the morning and driving out to a job and coming home at the end of the day, or have you always been self-employed?
I mean, I work, at jobs and stuff like that. I've kind of always been in the online world. I guess I would say, during college, I started working at a company, and they basically put me in a room and were like, "Hey, we want you to sell." And I was like, "All right, sounds good." So I was calling people on the phone, and you can only call so many people on a phone a day.
Yeah, very true.
And I was their top sales rep, but no matter what I did, I could never get more than like 8 to 15 sales a day. Like,
Yeah, because you're
that's
obviously
really
limited by
good for
your.
phone calling. And these were like $100 products, so I was earning my keep.
Yeah, of course.
But it just got to a point where I was really bored. So back in the day, I built a little scraper that went and scraped websites. So this was in the real estate niche. So this was in like 2004. So I went and built a scraper. It scraped. It basically went through Google search results. Took whatever, took the top 1,000 sites, scraped them for a phone number, and then I just built it to send out a text message to, I sent the phone number at AT&T.net, at T-Mo.net. Basically, back in the day, you could get away with that, and it wasn't frowned upon or illegal. But,
So that made all those
I
seconds
found
free,
that more safe.
basically.
Yeah,
Excellent,
completely.
excellent.
And I could send as many texts and emails as I wanted. But that only got me a couple more sales. I'd get up to like 10, 15. So then I went on to Craigslist, and for I mean this is that first company, and I went and just kind of hired like mini affiliates off Craigslist. These were people I posted jobs, and I said, "Hey, I'll pay you X amount of dollars,"
If
which
you can
was
get so.
like $2 less than I got, to go out and make sales for me. And I started like
Did you
my
know that was called an
numbers.
affiliate back then?
Yeah. It
But
was basically
you did know that
no, I had no idea.
though.
No clue.
That's funny.
So I started and my numbers jumped. I mean, my biggest day, I did almost 600 sales in one day.
So you must have got called into the office to say, like, what are you actually doing?
Yeah, the upper guys actually, it was a little bit of strife because I had my code on every single sale. So I would make my affiliates type in my codes. So so when I went into the database, it pulled my name. And then I had them put a code that I gave each one of them. And then I'd classify it and just pay them over PayPal.
I see.
But it worked out really well.
So the powers that be, they must have been like, hold on, look, you've made 100 calls, but you've got 600 sales.
Are you selling
5 to each person?
Yeah, during that point, they had no clue because I stopped going into the office.
Oh, okay.
And I was actually finishing my bachelor's degree at the time and running like this little side business. Like I actually didn't go into the office for like 3.5 months.
Oh, wow.
And I made all these sales, and it actually ended up souring the relationship, and they were like, yeah, you can, and then I left, and they stopped making that many sales. It was a big fiasco at the very end, but I did learn very valuable things about affiliates and the power of affiliates online.
Leverage, definitely. So what happened next? Like, where did that then lead you?
So that led me, I worked with a large affiliate company. We were selling widgets online. I actually went in to interview with them while I was still working at this other company.
What's a widget? The reason I ask is because I've seen widgets be named lots of different things.
I won't go into that. But
okay.
just to protect their name. I mean, you know, kind of how they grew up.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it was an affiliate marketing company, and they just posted, hey, we're looking for, you know, say online sales, right? So I went in. It was really weird. I went into a room where there were like 12 people waiting to interview, and they were each taking like 15-minute increments, and it was just awkward. I mean, I'd never had that before, and I was like, oh, my word, this job is... You know, it's what I wanted. It was in the pay range I wanted.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you start spending what's in your pocket.
Yeah, of course.
I was doing well at the other place. So, went in there. I interviewed. I told him my story. I'm like, here's what I'm doing. I have no clue. Like, I know I could do this for other companies. It's not that hard. And he's like, actually, what you're doing is called affiliate marketing. And here's how it works. And he's like, I really like you. Would you start today?
Wow.
And like right in we were not 10 minutes in. And he hired me, and he basically walked out the door, and he's all, hey, thanks for coming, you guys. And just sent everybody else that was behind me home.
Wow.
So I learned a lot about affiliate marketing and a lot about pay-per-click marketing at that company. I had enormous budgets to pay out affiliates. I mean, multi-million-dollar budgets.
Okay.
To throw around. That was fun.
So obviously, because I remember. I worked at a media agency, and we used to sell pay-per-click, sell SEO, sell web design and things like that. And one of the things I remember is some of the companies, their budget was ridiculous. And I'm talking in the regions of like 200K a month and stuff like that. Like, was that the sort of budget that you were working with?
Ours was more like double that a day.
A day? Wow. Okay, so that must have been
a very, very large budget.
Yeah, that's a very, very large budget. So, and this is the thing: when you're spending that sort of budget, would you say it's easier to get a campaign working when you're spending more money than it is when you're working on a tight budget and you haven't got much room to test or tweak or so on and so forth?
I mean, it's definitely easier to get things done, whether it works or not.
Okay.
Bigger companies, larger companies have bigger budgets.
Mm.
So you're going to be able to test things out 10 times quicker. I mean, with a $200,000-$300,000 budget or $500,000 budget a day, you're basically going to be able to make a judgment call within an hour.
Of course,
because you've already spent $50,000 on
it. Yeah, definitely. What some people, the data that some people would gather in a year, you've got to pay.
Exactly. But at the same time, like, there's a lot more to figure things out really quick, so you have to be able to move extremely fast.
I can imagine, because it's not like it's now progressively over a period of time. It's like, wow, all that information, now what are you going to do with that sort of thing? So I can imagine that. Yeah, it must be quite pressure, a lot of pressure there. So that allowed you to sort of get your teeth into PPC and the online paid media type of world.
Yep. So after that, did that for a while, really enjoyed that, learned a lot.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I started working with a hosting company,
mm-hmm.
Doing the same thing.
You started working with a hosting company? Was it just the same process? You saw an advertisement in a job ad, you applied for the job and got the job. Okay, cool.
Yeah, that one was just a job on Craigslist. Mm-hmm. And I saw that they were paying really good money, looking for somebody with, you know, skills that I had that I could bring on a lot more things.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up, that was the one that you brought up, net hosting.
Okay.
And, I still work with them today. They're a great company. I still manage, you know, their affiliate relationships and a lot of stuff like that.
Excellent.
Great company. Great founders, great team. But worked with them. While I was there, I met a guy that I work with, Adam Green.
Yeah.
That I currently work with now. We do a lot of pay-per-click management.
Is he your business partner on blogging.org and PPC?
He is not. He's
okay.
At a company called Maple North.
Okay, yeah.
It's more like agency work.
Oh, gosh, I've got that written here. Sorry, that's my mistake. Sorry about that.
He managed clients and stuff like that. So he had a bunch of clients, and, you know, we worked really well together. So it was a natural fit to, you know, start a company and start doing it professionally. And that's when, you know, my career really started taking off, is when I, you know, officially quit my job and, you know, was able to move out on my own, per se, and, you know, start doing what I was really passionate about, really helping people, helping companies.
That makes a lot of sense.
You know, expand what they're doing.
Yeah, definitely. But one thing, throughout this whole, everything that we've spoke about so far, you haven't mentioned that you had any, that you was doing anything in the writing area, and that's how I got to know who you was, is from your writing. So, you just naturally good, just a naturally good writer, or?
You know, actually, I'm not that great of a writer. I just test a lot of things. So, continuing on my story, I mean, I met Adam. We actually ended up building a couple sites.
Mm-hmm.
We built, I don't know if you've heard of Fiverr.
Of course.
We built.
I don't know if you've heard of it.
Yeah, most people have, but some people haven't. So we built a Fiverr clone. Mm-hmm. I saw Fiverr. There were no one was going to it, and I was like, that is a really cool idea. I should build something like that. So me and this Adam guy built it. We ended up attracting, 15,000-20,000 users. It was making good money. And then we're like, let's sell it. So we ended up selling it. We sold it to the predominant affiliate.
How much you sold it for?
We did
fine.
Very well.
I can imagine.
We sold it to Zach Johnson and John Chow.
Oh, John Chow, yeah?
Yeah. So we sold it to them back in the day. Mm-hmm. And
this is Fiverr, the website that we all use now to get our logos done, get people to do blog comments. Wow, okay.
So we sold them that clone, and that basically got me into a really good relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
I still blog for John Chow twice a week on his blog.
Mm-hmm.
I still you know, it just gained me a lot of very, I mean, I speak with them at every affiliate summit.
Mm-hmm.
I've spoken with both of them at Blog World. It just gained us a really good, you know, relationship. After then, Zach and I started working, Zach Johnson, he basically came to me and said, hey, I know you're really good at pay-per-click because I read your stuff all over the internet. At this time, I was starting to blog about pay-per-click and Google AdWords.
Okay.
And he's like, hey, I own PPC.org. You know, would you want to partner up? I was like, yeah. So we started working on that, and we've bought a bunch of domains. We've worked together on a lot of side projects, fun little things. We bought blogging.org, built that out, and
so blogging.org.
Yeah.
From what I've read, it's a two-sided blogging platform which allows someone like myself, who's a blogger, who produces content basically, to be able to go and get content and publish it on my site to help me with my
right.
organic
ranking.
It's
basically a two-sided marketplace where you can buy content.
Perfect.
So you can go on there and say, I want an article written about this, and here's how much I'll pay for it. Much like a text broker or an iWriter.
Mm-hmm.
But
the article gets published on your site or on our site?
On your site.
Okay.
So we basically are just a marketplace to get content for your site. So you pay, you know, X amount, $5, $10, $20, $50, $100 for a really good article, and you post that on your site. So
The really good article part, like, how are you sort of saying that it's a really good article based on who are these writers?
So when a writer signs up, they're automatically, they kind of have to put in some sample articles.
Okay, so you vet them first of all.
Yeah, and then, I mean, if they're a premier writer, which we have a couple very well-known writers on there. I mean, we have, for example, I mean, on there is one Mashable writer.
Okay, yeah.
And so, I mean, this is like somebody who's, you know, years and years and years of experience.
Uh-huh.
And they just say, you know, we'll write articles for people. You know, we're not posting them wherever on Mashable or anywhere like that, but we'll write really quality articles, you know, if you pay us. So, you know, theirs are a lot better quality of articles.
Just out of interest, what sort of price range are we looking at in regards to an article?
You know,
we
have everything. I mean, the price ranges on there from anywhere from like $2 up to, I think, $120.
Oh, you really do have everything. That's like from Southeast Asia to the Western world in regards to writing.
Exactly. I mean,
yeah.
We real people out there trying to get crappy content. I mean, it's not what I really do. I mean, I'll provide a means for you to get that if that's what you really want.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we tend to focus on more of the upper end market. I would say our average article cost is about $12.
Okay. So, how do I put this? Out of all the things that you've learned today, like you've been through a lot, you've worked for companies, you've got experience of working for companies and being around employees, you've run your own businesses, you've done like contracting freelance type of work,
yep.
And you've got your own websites. Out of all of those different things that you've learned today, what would you say has had the greatest impact on you in generating results for your business and you think would be useful for the listeners today?
I would say relationships.
Oh, excellent.
I mean, it's all about, for me, relationships. I mean, I can blog on almost any blog out there.
Okay.
And it's because of the relationships that I've made over time and the people that I work with. I mean, I ended up selling a site to Zach Johnson and John Chow, and it's, you know, that cascaded into me really becoming good friends with those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I like got money from them.
I understand what you mean. I've definitely, I've been in those situations. It just, it's like an invisible thing. It just happens because you do something with somebody and they respect, like, because they're getting, it's a win-win situation for them. Like, they're getting good benefit out of whatever they're doing, and you also get benefit out of it. It makes sense. Like, you're like-minded thinkers. So,
I mean, it's all about relationships, and I mean, they've introduced me, and I've introduced them, as well as many other people. I mean, I spoke at a conference where I met a writer for Forbes, who I've become really good friends with, who she's written about me, you know, 3 or 4 times on Forbes. And, you know,
it's amazing for your branding.
It's all about relationships. And I didn't just go to her and I was like, oh, yeah, I want this article. Like, she actually first wrote an article on me without me even asking or anything like that. And I found out about it like 3 days later.
So your work spoke for itself and she picked
it up. Yeah, so my work. But then I went to her and I was like, hey, you know, and I went to her and just, I do a lot of SEO and PPC, and I know a lot of stuff in the online world. So I went to her site, and I basically kind of tore into her site. I'm like, here's what I'd fix. I'd fix this. I'd fix this. I'd fix this. I'd do this. And, like, I hadn't even talked with her once before this. And I sent that over, and she basically sent me back. She's all, oh, my word, thank you so much. She's all, I have no clue how to do this. So I spent an hour and I went into the code on her website and I fixed certain things.
Honestly.
And then she introduced me to somebody else who I went and fixed their site. And then that person, you know, helped me out and I helped them. It's all about relationships. And that's what I think the biggest thing that affiliates miss out on is they're just trying to make a quick buck where they can make a lot more through building an actual relationship. I mean, I run tons of different affiliate programs, and the ones that make the most amounts of money are the ones where I have relationships with the affiliates and the affiliates have relationships with me. Because I'll create creative for them. I'll build out landing pages for them. I'll do anything for them.
Thanks. Yeah, and the thing is, just for like the few people that may have not understood what John was just explaining there, relationships, like, obviously it's about knowing who to connect with, and if you are connecting with these people, but I guess just being able to add value. So if you see what John did there is that he had a look at someone that was influential, he had a look at their site. He identified a number of areas where they could improve things on their site. He sent those tips over to that person. Of course you're going to be grateful. And she's already met him and spoken to him. So, of course she's going to be grateful. And it just definitely opens up that reciprocation sort of energy. Definitely.
Yeah.
Did I relay that correctly?
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure that people get, like, how important relationships is, because it's definitely been, for me, one of the most important things. Like, obviously there are other pieces of the puzzle, but one of the most important things was definitely relationships. So I'm happy that I'm on the same alignment with you. And also, I think it's quite interesting that you worked for new media type of companies, because I did the same sort of thing. So maybe as I go on my journey, I might be as successful as you.
Yeah. You know, go out there and build really good relationships and you'll get there.
Ah, oh, excellent. That sounds really
and
cool.
And further, a lot further.
A question I've got for you, and this is one where if somebody, for example, is really passionate about an industry and they want to launch a blog or something of that nature. Now, if they were quite a recluse they found it hard to build relationships with people and stuff like that, but they're super, super passionate about this industry, would they be able to just publish content every single day, maybe 2-3 times a day, really, really good content on that topic, and do nothing else and be successful? Because everyone says that content is king. From when I was a kid, when I first came into this industry, everybody talked about how content was king. So I just wondered if it is possible for just produce content, outstanding content, and somehow Google will start to pick it up and algorithmic to the searches in some sort of way.
How are they going to make money? AdSense?
Oh yeah, so they would.
So I mean that would be my argument is, I mean, I think it's all about relationships because, you know, you're going to post that content, but if people don't interact with it, I mean, you're not going to get people coming back. It'll be one-time deals. And if you're not actually being out there in front of people, I mean, a good blogger will write a post and then each comment, he'll follow up with them.
Oh, I see.
Or at least try and get at least a couple of them. But then he'll find one really and he'll do a little bit of online stalking and say, oh my word, this person owns this blog. You know, I wonder if they'll write about me. I don't think it just takes good content. I mean, yeah, you have to have good content, but you have to be out there, like, interacting and doing things.
Okay. Because, so, with, like, for example, what I've noticed is I look at all these different blogs and so on and so forth, and a lot of the authority blogs out there, it doesn't seem like they write. The owner of the website doesn't seem to write much content on the website. It seems that he's got a lot of guest blog posters on the site.
Yeah.
Is there a strategy to that? Is there like some sort of reason why you've got so many other people writing content for the blog? Doesn't that lose the integrity of the idea of the blog? Or
I mean, it does, but at the same time, you bring unique perspectives in there and unique audiences. So, I mean, if I bring a guest blogger and they're a good guest blogger, they're going to write really killer.
Yeah, definitely.
Content that I couldn't. They're also going to share that content with their teams and with their friends and with their followers, which will help, you know, your blog, you know, go a ton more.
No, that makes a lot of sense. So when obviously I'd assume that you have tons of business owners come up to you and ask you loads of different questions about how to help them in their business, things that are going on in their business and so on and so forth. What are some of the main sticking points you see a lot of people have when it comes to building their business online?
Probably like some of the big sticky points that people have. I think they get caught way too much on rankings.
Okay.
Instead of like interactions and revenue.
Could you drill down into that a little bit more, like where you say interactions and revenue?
For example, like I'm working with a couple people right now, and all they care about is that they, you know, when you search this keyword phrase in Google, that they rank this way or that way or number 3 or number 2 or number 1. Okay. Instead of being like, you know, I'm really concerned about, I really want it, the people that are coming to my website to interact and to become a better part of the website.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. So
they don't really think about, I guess I could say they don't think about the conversions on the back end.
Oh, okay.
They're thinking purely about they're spending money to get this, but they don't really focus on the back end.
And even if, and I would assume that you're somebody that could get across that point to how important it is for them to obviously focus on the conversion.
Depends on the person. I mean, some people are very...
I was going to say, but sometimes people's ears are still blocked, so they just have their own focus and that's it.
Yeah.
Strange. Very, very interesting. So you say the sticking point would be that people are focusing on the wrong things, basically.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So how do you know to focus on the right thing?
How did I learn?
No, how would anybody know to focus? Because I've seen it myself where somebody would build in their business and they concentrate on just the building of the website part of it or the logo. And I'm like, have you thought about your marketing yet? Like, what you're going to do, how you're going to get out there, who's your ideal customer, and so on and so forth. And they're like, oh, we'll sort that out later. And I'm like, wow, you're not gonna last. That's what I just think to myself. But obviously, I could be wrong. But how can you not be thinking about your marketing and you're spending thousands on your website?
Yeah.
So that's what I've noticed.
Yeah.
Mm.
I mean, Yeah, I just think people need to focus more on, I mean, interact with their customer.
So, okay. So the way to work it out is actually focusing on the customer and their journey.
If you figure out what your customer wants and their journey on your website,
mm-hmm.
you'll convert.
Definitely.
They'll come back. They'll love you. They'll
mm-hmm.
tell friends about you. But if they don't really care about your website, or if you're just focusing on numbers, like, hey, I mean, you could have 1 million people come to your website that are the wrong demographic and not one of them will convert, or you can focus on the one that's exactly your target customer and get him to convert.
Very true, very true. And obviously that person is going to be a lot more responsive on the back end as well for emails and so on and so forth, because they are the right person. So yeah, definitely. What drives you every day to get up? Because everyone's human, like everyone gets depressed and peed off with things and stuff like that. So
what motivates you?
What drives you to get
besides
up?
Besides the new Model S Tesla.
I love it. Yeah, that's a good motivation, definitely.
No, I mean, obviously, you know, I'm motivated by money.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, more than that, I love seeing like interactions. I love seeing things grow.
Okay.
I really like seeing rapid growth on sites, rapid growth in companies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, seeing a website owner go from, or a company go from like one or a 2-person team to like a 200-person team, and you know that you were part of that. It's cool to see that.
Definitely, I can imagine.
That's what really drives me.
Okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So get ready for a curveball question. What's your favorite pizza topping?
Pizza topping. I'm a traditional man. I like pepperoni.
Okay, cool. Yeah, pepperoni's good. It's good stuff. Okay,
yeah.
And on an average day, how many hours would you say that you devote to doing business in the day? Like, so not just dilly-dallying, you know how it goes. Actually work in a day. How many hours would you say that you spend on a daily basis?
Let's see. I try and start work, although sometimes I falter, around 6.
In
like
the morning?
Actually, 6 in the morning, like start, okay. Like actually working. Then, and I usually stop, I would say, on average, around like 4. Sometimes earlier, sometimes later, and I'll usually work for like half an hour at the night. But I go to bed early, so
yeah.
I mean, I typically would say I am in bed by 9:30. But I mean, I try and at least recently have tried stopping work, cooling down, watching a movie, relaxing, going on walks, spending time with family,
mm-hmm.
that type of stuff.
Okay.
So I think if I worked way more than that, my wife would kill me.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
So like for things like, how do I put it?
What?
Sorry. I just want to make sure that I formulate the question correctly. So, when somebody's obviously looking at like yourself and all the things that you're doing and you've done,
yeah,
how do you manage all of that? Like, I've kind of got an idea how you'd go about it, but just for the listeners and everybody, like, how do you manage everything? Because
you have to have a great team.
Perfect. Okay. And how does that even come
about? It's all about the team behind
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm.
And the connections and the relationships, because
okay.
I know that if I really want to get interaction on something like a post, I mean,
mm-hmm.
I have my dream team of 20 or 30 friends that I can send my post to that will comment,
mm-hmm.
that will post it, that
mm-hmm.
will do. And I do the exact same for them.
Yeah.
But it's the team behind it. I mean, I work with some amazing and phenomenal people. I mean, like Adam, who I work with, you know, he's brilliant.
Mm.
And that didn't just come by, like, me, like, being like, hey, let me hire you, or let you hire me, or let's do this, or it came over time.
Yeah.
I mean, before we even started working together, we had built a site and sold it. That one that we ended up selling
yes.
to.
Yes.
We bought that. We built that site before we even started working together.
Wow.
Like, officially.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. Same with, any team member that we bring on to our team. I mean, it's taken, we'll typically work with somebody for a while before we bring them on as a contractor.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's the way. All right. That sounds good.
But it's all about the team behind you. If you don't have a good team, you're not scalable. I mean, just like a blog, if you don't have good guest contributors or people or marketers behind it,
mm-hmm.
when I say marketers, like people that come to your blog and do the marketing for you, people that are reading your post, commenting, sharing, liking, those are all part of your essentially extended team.
I see. Okay. And that's the way you look at it. So obviously, you're looking at your visitors as part of your team as well then. Your visitors and the people that interact as part of your team.
Yeah.
So that's why it's obviously important to make sure that you respond to your team. So if they put a comment there, you're going to respond and give your feedback, because if you didn't respond to your team, they'll think you're a jerk and then probably never put forward an opinion again.
Pretty much.
Yeah, it's pretty. The thing is, when you put it forward, it's like it's pretty simple, and I don't understand. But people get so caught up on so many different things that are irrelevant. It's crazy. So I think literally we've covered the majority of what I wanted to cover. Now, what I do like to do towards the end of an interview is just sort of find out: is there anything that you think that I should have asked, that I didn't ask, or that people should know, but they don't really ask that question, just so that we can, and then whatever that is, let's get it answered.
Let's see. When did I really start doing well?
Yeah.
That's one that is kind of important.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a blogger, I mean, in your...
Can we do both? Sorry. Can we do both? What was it like, feeling-wise, dread-wise, how you actually... Before you was doing well, and then the little bit after, that would be really good.
Yeah. So, basically, when I was at my jobs, I was always doing stuff on the side. I was always building this, building that, trying stuff out. Because if you don't try, nothing will ever happen.
Definitely.
So, probably, I would say when I really started doing well was when, one, you don't have any other option.
Wow, okay.
Typically, I have found that things don't work out unless they have to.
Okay.
So, not to be like, oh, look at me, but, like, right now I live in, I have a family to take care of.
Uh-huh.
I have, people, that I work with that depend on me to bring the bills in.
Mm-hmm.
If things fail, they fail for a lot of people.
It's a lot of responsibility, isn't it?
Yeah, so, and I don't think... Things work out when they have to. And when I really, when I originally quit my job, I was making $500 a month.
Mm.
And that's the point where I'm like, I had saved up for a long time, so I had enough money in the bank to last me, over a year with my current expenses. But, I dropped my expenses down to where I could legitimately live, including rent and everything, food, insurance, everything, for, $1,100 a month. Which, in some parts of the world, that's a ton of money, but where I was living at the time, that was,
You're just over broke.
I'm just over broke. But, I got my expenses down, and they're still down. I don't drive some fancy car. I actually bought my car at, the used lot. It had, 60,000 miles on it.
Mm-hmm.
it's not the greatest. I live a, you know, I do very well, but I invest a lot of my time and energy into projects and companies that I really like. So that's when I really started doing well, is I would say at that point when I was only earning $500, because that's when I really started to focus and start making every minute of my. And I think people give up way too soon if it's not their only thing. So if you're working at a job and working at a blog, I mean, to get a blog going, you're going to have to be posting 1 to 3 times a day for like 8-9 months before you see a dollar.
And this is the thing. Like, I literally know, because I've done some things in the past that's put me in a situation where I've got quite a bit of cash flow. Now, I'm working on this blog now where we're doing interviews and stuff as a way to give back. And literally, if this was all I was doing.
Yeah, you can buy
honestly,
that.
I don't think I could sustain it for 8 months. Like, I'd have to, like, because, like, transcriptions, article getting written for me, videos getting put up onto the site, your VC doing all these different things for you. It's like, it definitely can mount up. Like, I think we're spending like over $1,000 a month. So it's hard. Like, it's like a catch 22 for somebody that say it's just starting out. Like, but then I guess what you then need to do is work out is if you haven't got the money up front, then you need to work out a way of presenting what you're looking to do in such a way that somebody will invest in you, I guess.
Yeah.
So there's always a solution if money's a problem.
Or save up and get your expenses down to nothing.
Yeah.
And save up money, mm-hmm. and have enough money that you have a year and a half runway. I mean, if you're going to be a blogger, which, I mean, blogging's great and it can make lots of money, but you know, I run a very successful blog and it does very well, but I mean, we have a lot of users coming to it and it takes a lot of time and energy.
So you sparked another question now.
And what?
You sparked another question in me now. So
yeah.
What I was thinking is that, okay, I know you're not going to be able to give me in detail, because that's like a whole other interview in itself, but a brief overview of, like, somebody starting from scratch, what they need to have as a mindset in regards to, you've really told us the expectation, look at blogging 2 to 3 times a day for 8 months and don't expect anything for around that sort of time, yeah? So that's one expectation, yeah? But obviously, they also need to start looking at what other things, the guest posting, getting people guest posting on their blog. Like, talk to me. Tell me what other things can be useful to these listeners today.
I mean, obviously, if you just blog on your own blog, no one's going to hear about you.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get past all the noise. So you need to go to big blogs. So, for example, like, I run a search engine journal. We're a pretty big blog out there. I mean, we accept guest blogs all the time. I mean, you do have to write a killer post that nobody's heard of and come up with unique perspectives. But it's a really good link coming back. And not to mention, each post gets, you know, 5 or 10,000 people looking at it in one day.
Okay.
So, I mean, stuff like that. There's a lot of blogs out there like ours that get very good readership. And if you write an amazing post, people will come back to you and recognize you as an expert. For example, I always give, you know, one really, you know, good example for Search Engine Journal.
Mm-hmm.
We have a guy who writes on there. His name's Alan Blightwise. He does reputation management and gets companies out of SEO problems.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote last year, it was our top post. He basically broke down, here is everything you need to do to get out of a penguin slap or a panda slap.
Uh-huh.
And literally detailed out. I mean, it's one of the most detailed. He tells you everything step by step on how to do everything, basically giving away his job.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
And people read that and people are too lazy to do it. So they now recognize him as the leader in the space, and now he gets, I believe he said he got like 10 or 12 different customers out of that.
Wow.
Last year alone.
So those customers,
and those customers are like $10,000 customers each.
So that's really paying him forward, isn't it? Like because not a lot of people would have been like, I don't want to give it all away, because then what have I got to sell them afterward?
But what have I got to do? But majority of people are too lazy. So come up with, find really good places that would match. Don't give away the farm per se. But I mean, I bet his post took him 40 hours to write.
Seriously?
It didn't just happen. I mean, he has screenshots. He has this. He has breakdown of this. He has breakdown of that. I mean, it's like a 10, 12,000 word ebook.
Oh, wow, wow, wow. So the production level is not even a mess. Like, he's really, it's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I see what you mean.
But every person recognizes him as the leader in that space, because he positioned himself. And we're not the only blog he's published similar types of things. I mean, he's been like, hey, he's rewritten the post a couple times in different ways for different sites and different niches.
Mm-hmm.
And people recognize him as the leader. It's just like me. I blog about PPC on PPC.org. I also write for PPC Hero, write for Search Engine Journal.
Yeah, I've seen your post.
I have established myself as a peeper. I am really good at it, so don't get me wrong. I'm an expert. Like, many people recognize me as one of the leading experts in the world on that.
Wow. Okay. And that's definitely important. Wow. Okay. So that's so in regards to like getting great people to be guest blog posters on your site. Like, you've been blog posting for a few months now. I'm gonna say 6 months. Just go out to them and request for them to do a blog post on you, or is it the same thing again? It's about...
No, you're writing the posts. You're going to them and you're saying, if I'm really trying to be good at this, I would go to the places where I want to guest post to, and I'd be like, here are 10 different subjects on things that need to be talked about on your blog that haven't been covered that I'm an expert about. Can I write about one or two of them? Pick which ones you'd like. That's how you get guest posts.
Okay.
You don't just go say, hey, I want to put a guest post on your site. For Search Engine Journal, I literally get 30 to 50 requests exactly like that a day.
Do you want to see some subject lines, like some titles before, like a few titles before they write the article as well? Do people like saying...
I actually don't even read subjects.
No?
At all. I pop everything into inbox, into the thing. I guess a lot of people read Gmail. I do not.
Okay.
So I think they're important, but I actually cannot remember the last time I've read a subject line.
So you're more interested in what the body copy is about.
But if they come and they're like, hey, I want to do a guest post, I'm amazing. It's like, okay, cool. I don't even respond to them.
So they're obviously approaching it the wrong way. So the best way to approach it is to basically let you know that they actually know a bit about your blog and say, look, this is where I'm seeing the gaps in the content on your site, and I'm an expert, so I can provide the right type of information. Yeah. Would something like, I'm thinking about these three subject lines for that particular topic, would that work, or?
I would do like, depending on how big the blog is, like 5 to 10.
Okay.
I wouldn't do like 2 or 3. I get 2 or 3 all the time, and those I'll usually be like, come back to me with 10, and I'll pick 1 or 2.
Oh, so at least you actually tell them.
That's just me personally, because I get so many.
So yeah, you just need to make sure that you filter out the time wasters and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I want to get through those really quick.
Yeah, of course.
I hate time sucks.
Of course. All right, well, on the subject of time sucks, you spent 50 minutes with us, and I'm really appreciative. We've gone through a ton of things, and I think I believe it's definitely going to be valuable. If people want to, obviously, they've enjoyed the interview as much as I have, and they want to give you thanks on Twitter or send you an
email? I'm just twitter.com/JohnRampton.
Oh, just John Rampton, yeah. So it's at John Rampton, everybody.
Yep.
So I'll make sure that's on the website as well. And obviously, you run Search Engine Journal. Do you actually own a Search Engine Journal?
I do not. Mm-hmm. I'm just the editor of that. That it's owned by Alpha Brand Media.
Okay, cool. So obviously you can check out some of John's articles on Search Engine Journal. We've got blogging.org.
Yep, blogging.org and ppc.org.
ppc.org as well. And I'll make sure that those are all linked up on the site as well. And John, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thanks.
I'll speak to you soon. And everybody, as I say always, it's really good to listen to this information, but if you don't take action, nothing's going to happen. So make sure you go and take some action on the information that you've got today, and I'll see you again soon with another episode. Mark Sam signing out. Take care, guys. Thanks again, John.
No problem.